We're live.
Hello.
Hooray.
Hello, and welcome to Hit in Abyss, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. And this is our second recording of the evening with almost entirely different people, because 8 people in one session is kind of a lot. So combat goes by really fast when it's just 3 or 4. I am here for this content, and we get more content done. So that's what we're doing. Yes, exactly. It's all on speeder bikes. So my name is Crash. Tonight we are joined by a bunch of fantastic people. We have Eo, Ellie.
Hello.
I'm getting thrown off because I keep looking for a totally different username, but someone has changed their username for the first time in the 2 years that he's been on my Discord.
I finally figured out how to do it.
Matt. it's weird because you never had your username be Matt, but I just automatically translated the old username to Matt, but now you have your character name.
Yep.
And I don't automatically translate that for some reason. The synapses weren't doing it for me. And Cindy is also hanging out. So, with that said, what happened the last time we were playing together?
Salsa!
We were sent to investigate an orc camp, and we discovered that the orcs had giant spiky orcs, which beat us all senseless and imprisoned us. Thava, who was a servitor of Malathumax, although we as characters didn't know that, showed up and freed us and told us that the goblin in the orc camp was selling the orcs out to, and the monks out to, the other faction of raiding orcs. And half the party split off to go back to the orc camp, and the rest of us are sitting in the woods.
With the idea that you are going to intercept the goblin when he's going to the orc horde to tip them off again.
Right.
Okay. And you did get a message from Onka earlier in the
evening. And I have received a message.
And sent a reply.
Onka sent me a message that said the orcs, basically, our guys don't think the goblin is the traitor. And I sent a message back saying, okay, we'll investigate him and anyone who might have cause to throw him under the bus.
Not that you know what a bus is, but yes. And as I was re-listening to last week's episode, as I was editing it earlier today, I immediately thought, return to the sending, wizard unknown, no such warlock, no such gnome.
Yep.
And I kind of want to write the rest of that parody song, but, you know, whatever.
Return the sending. Return descending.
We rolled initiative.
Did we?
No. I'm trying to think of more lines for the song. Instead of we had a quarrel.
Okay.
You know, whatever.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. But
we have
on,
a quarry.
You have a quarry. Yes.
But and do it's we not have just a hole in the ground.
Think anyone here uses crossbows.
Thava does. Thava has a crossbow.
Crossbows.
I am trying to recall the last time I played in this game. I was not available on the 14th. I was on a cruise ship on the 21st and the 28th, and then I ran last week. So it has to be at least December 7th, although I probably was not available then because that was the weekend of my 50th birthday. So now we're looking at probably November 30th.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
She's muted.
Yep, just listening in. I'm glad that you have enough internet for you to hear us. That's a good thing. Unka survived, by the way. Unka was not in any danger that you're aware of. Currently.
Wait 5 minutes.
I don't like the weather. Wait 5 minutes.
Your characters are not in danger. Wait 5 minutes.
No. Combat rounds last 6 seconds. We all know this. You have a much shorter wait time.
This is true.
Yes. Alrighty. So the main thing that's going on right now is you're all hanging out in the woods waiting for a goblin to cross your path.
Are we searching for the goblin, or are we kind of staking out waiting for him to show up?
That's an excellent question. What would you like to do?
Okay. Then it sort of depends on what we know about the goblin.
About to ask that.
You know that the reason why the orcs were, the good orcs, were dubious that he was the traitor, it's because he was with them before the horde formed. So they didn't think he would turn traitor. He's the cook for that group. supplies are limited. So he does things like he makes pepper soup where there's other things in it, but the pepper hides the taste of the things. And people are grateful. They were slightly less grateful when a certain anthropomorphic bird started yelling out pepper over and over again. Which is canon. That and potatoes. That was quite loud. So party cook was with the orcs for the most part. And Thava says he's been going back and forth between the horde and the rest of the survivors. And the orcs are saying,
good label.
No, that couldn't have been.
Because he was on our side before the horde showed up. And there's no reason for him to sell us out.
Yes. Ash,
okay.
Chris's character Ash, is very dubious towards this. Because for his particular backstory, which he shared last week, which no one in this particular group would know this, because he was sharing it last week when you were still hanging out in the woods. Someone his captain knew and trusted for years killed his captain and sunk his ship. So Ash is not very trusting.
And Ash has now had kind of a background in that you cannot trust somebody necessarily who's been around for years because they could betray you at any time.
Yes. And although goblins are really known for their loyalty. Wait.
Among themselves, perhaps.
No, I think they have the same amount of loyalty for their own kind as they have for everything else.
Hmm. All right, so we're out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to find this goblin.
Yes. The assumption is he's going to try to do another run again. Between the two camps.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So he's going to leave the survivor camp to try to make his way to the horde.
Yes.
Okay. So we have to be on the lookout for him.
Yes.
Can Thava anyone has, think of some?
You go.
Can anyone think of something he'd be carrying?
Food?
He's something that no one else would be carrying.
We don't know. I don't think we know enough about him.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a very vague description. Goblin. Have we actually seen him or just been told he exists?
Yes. You've seen him because he's the survivor's cook. You also know his name is Graris.
Okay, we have a name. That's good.
Yes.
I don't know what spells Bryn has available. You're a diviner, right?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Oh, you're an enchanter.
Enchanter. And I'm not high enough level to cast Scrying.
No, but we could... I don't know if you can locate creature.
I can locate object.
Okay, that's where I figured you were going with this. We know what he looks like. We've got his name. And we're hiding out in the forest, hoping to find him leaving camp according to... Do we know the other person's name as Thava, or is that what the players know?
She's introduced herself as Thava to the group.
Okay.
And based on what she said, Graris has been moving between the survivors and various parts of the horde pretty much every night.
Okay.
So she is certain that he's going to attempt it again tonight because why would he change? He doesn't always take the same route, so you're kind of guessing where he might be.
Okay.
You know, I have a better idea than
we're at night in the forest?
Yes.
And we're a goblin.
Yeah.
Okay. I say we sneak up as close to the friendly camp as possible, and Chip follows the goblin out.
This amuses me because a similar strategy was used earlier. Only it was a hedgehog.
I'll send Raum too.
Okay.
Wait, do we all have familiars?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe not Eric.
Yeah, no, Eric doesn't have a familiar. Thava, however, does. Thava has a pseudo-dragon familiar named Vex.
Oh, right.
Oh my.
Yeah. When asked about the name, she says that her familiar helps keep her in line. She does not explain what that means.
No, but that's very amusing to the player.
It's very amusing to the DM as well. So the DM is happy to share. Chris is furious.
Chris, I'm sure he has every right to be.
Yeah. Like he is upset about this, but at the same time, all he can say for Ash is Ash met a nice dragonborn lady.
Yeah.
She is giving him no reason to be upset.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to have a familiar follow the goblin. Is that our plan?
That's the plan, but you're going to have to sneak closer to camp first.
That's okay. Follow the goblin out until the goblin's a bit into the woods, out of earshot. Friendly, allegedly friendly camp and such. And then we have a chat.
Okay.
So what familiars do we have here right now? Because I've got a cat.
Raum is a raven.
Raven?
Chip's a rat.
Oh, goody. Then the cat and the rat will get along fine. And the bird.
The pseudodragon is an omnivore, and it has a stinger that causes unconsciousness. You're all doomed.
Yeah.
Where did all the familiars go, and why is that pseudodragon looking stuffed?
Burp.
a feather comes out. All right, so if you're going to try to sneak towards camp, I will require a stealth roll.
Oh, I don't do that so good. Do the rest of you do that so good? Because I don't.
Ah, but you're a dwarf in the forest, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I
my natural habitat, right?
I have a dexterity of 17, so let's see.
That's a 27 from Azir's stealth roll.
Well, I've got a 16.
18.
All right, here comes the natural 2.
That might be twice as much as we were expecting.
Yeah. 9.
Well, so we've got the halfling and the tiefling are like the wind. And then there's this dwarf that's going crunch, 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 crunch through all the leaves and sticks and stuff that are on the forest floor.
I'm being quiet. I'm being quiet.
That's a hit song that's been... It has been making the rounds for a good 5 years now by the wonderful, famous bard that everyone totally knows, Duldane.
Duldane.
Yes. Oh, I love this game so much. I really do. So as you are mostly sneaking through the woods, who has the highest passive perception?
It's me.
What is it?
19.
Okay, you come across a body.
Is it the goblin?
It is not a goblin. It's a man.
Mishanka was here.
How dead is it? How dead is he?
Give me a medicine
dead or
check.
All dead?
I would like to make an investigation check.
I was going to say my investigation's better.
I'm going to say medicine.
15?
Well, I want to investigate where the killer may have come from or gone.
Okay. So I'm seeing a 15 for... Was that a medicine check for Mazir? Okay. Well, as you go up to investigate the body and you put your ear really close to the chest to listen, you hear, to play.
So he's only mostly dead.
And then he starts coughing up a bit of blood.
Oh good, you're not dead.
Yeah. I'm happy about that, too.
Who attacked you?
Cook.
Well?
Who are you?
I don't remember the mom's names.
Right now,
what are you doing out here?
The player is saying this.
Yeah, the DM is also saying this.
Dura. Dura was Onka's mom.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Jen posted in the thread.
So we have... Yeah, Dura is Onka's mom. We also have Belkis and Asus are Fahim's moms.
Okay, so I'll identify us as being allied with them.
Okay.
So, that's good. What were you doing?
Looking for the cook. Apparently he ran off. A bunch of people followed him. There was a fight. He ran off again. He didn't come back to camp, so a lot of us went out looking for him.
Did you see which direction he went after he attacked you?
And he sort of puts his hand on his chest and pulls it away, and there's a lot of blood. Busy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Understandably. I will send Rome off to fetch someone from the camp.
By the way, Bryn, going to your role, because you got a 21 for your investigation check, you can see that the detritus on the forest floor is... moved in such a way that he has pulled himself to the spot along the ground. He was dragging himself along the ground for, it looks like, quite some distance, further than you can see in these low light conditions.
Away from the camp?
No, towards it.
Okay.
He was trying to get back on his own, but that was just a little difficult for him. Thava, by the way, is hanging back. Thava's hanging back and not saying anything. She's trying not to be seen by this guy.
So wait, Thava's here?
Yeah, Thava's with you.
Oh, Thava's, okay. She's out with the...
She, the party split. Half the party went back to camp, and the other half hung out in the forest to try to find the goblin. Thava stayed with the goblin hunting party because Thava was the one that knew.
I thought she was back in camp.
No, no. So far as the camp is concerned, Thava doesn't exist.
Ah, gotcha. They don't know about her.
Correct.
Okay, so I've sent Raum off to fetch somebody from camp.
Let's see if we can get this person a little closer ourselves while we wait. The less distance they have, well, it'll be faster.
I can carry him with ease with the gauntlets that I own.
I was going to say, I've got a strength of 8. I'm not carrying nobody.
I got a 19 with them gauntlets. I can help.
I can see Ulfgar picking him up.
I just realized I have a higher strength than Vizier.
Yeah.
I can see Ulfgar picking this guy up, and because dwarves are lowered to the ground as you're walking through the woods, his head is still dragging along the forest floor.
Yeah. Bang. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No. Let me help there.
Thanks.
The weight's not a problem. Oh, wait. You know, that head wound might not. Yeah, I'm not skilled in medicine, so relax. You'll be fine.
Nothing a long rest won't cure. Am I right?
Or two.
Okay. Apparently, keep an eye out. There's zombies too.
There are zombies out here as well as.
Yeah, that's
the horde.
Well, it might be from the horde. They were ogres. That's what the people who found the goblin went and said. There were 3 ogres that were zombies. They killed them, but there might be more.
All right, important safety
tip.
Don't
worry, we've dealt with zombies.
So can we just call our guys the Alliance, just to make it easy?
And for some reason, the symbol for the monastery is this like golden dragon on a blue background.
All right, so I'm going to keep an eye out for zombies.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
No, I thought they were coming to take me away, haha.
That too. But life will be wonderful all the time.
And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in the clean white clothes.
And the basket weavers who sit and twiddle their thumbs and toes.
And I did prepare Dragon's Breath today, so if I need to set some zombies on fire, although this might not really be the venue for that unless I got real close.
Somewhere very far to the north, Sanctimonious is pleased.
Lighting a forest on fire might not be a good thing, but we have you can do acid and cold and other sorts of coney things that zombies won't probably care for.
Indeed.
And less further to the north than Sanctimonious is, a certain small dragonfly of a kobold is also pleased. So long as you use it responsibly. I like referencing other campaigns. It's fun. That's why I enjoy Kevin so much.
All right, okay. So we want to take this wounded guy back to camp. At this point, we have no way to track the goblin in the dark.
Well, there's more than one of you who can see in the dark.
Yeah.
Dark vision.
I have an investigation of +7, a passive perception of 19, and a passive investigation of 22.
But you have dark vision.
I have a familiar whose senses I can use who tracks by smell.
Okay. Then that should help.
Yeah.
Because while I can see in the dark, probably, I don't know if Mazir can.
Oh, yes. I can. Mazir can see under literally any conditions.
Oh, good. All right. And you're as good at perception and investigation, just like Bryn.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think we'll be okay. Once we get him back to camp, we can try to come back here and try to see if we can follow this goblin. At this point, if he's attacked his allies, his life is forfeit.
Mm. So yeah, let's get this guy back to camp and
return here and continue our investigations. At this point, we'll have to track him. Are any of you good at that?
There's one more step in between, which is when we get this guy back to camp, make sure they know who he is.
Oh, well.
They know who I am.
All right, then let us move out. We have a goal.
I want to roll insight.
On him?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 14.
Okay. What are you trying to figure out?
Just, if he seems like he's pretty open about the events that transpired.
Okay. Well, with the 14, things that you are certain about are he has lost a lot of blood. He has been trying to drag his way back to camp, and if you're that injured, you're probably not going to be trying to go towards a place where you are unwelcome.
That's reasonable.
True, but someone who was trying to pin something on someone else and failed to capture their scapegoat or kill them properly.
Yeah, but he could still be from camp and just wanting to get rid of this goblin for whatever reason.
Yeah, that was my fault. That's why I wanted to roll insight.
Okay.
Mazir grew up around people who would as soon draw breath as lie about who they were. And also just recently found a group of ogres who turned out to be, in fact, possibly even just a group of orcs who turned out to be, in fact, balloons full of infectious.
Ew.
Yeah. So, you know, I have no particular reason to doubt you, dude, but I have lots of reasons to distrust people in general. So I will be as pleased as anyone else to get you back to camp and have them say, yeah, he's one of ours and we're going to take care of him.
I like this plan. I like it a lot. You are heading back towards camp, and Fava pulls Mazir back a little bit and whispers to you, they don't know that I'm here, and I'd like to keep it that way. So if you're going to the camp, I'll follow you for most of the way, but then I'm not joining you in there.
My lips are sealed. Don't worry about it.
All right. Okay. and you make it to camp.
I know how to keep a secret.
So do I, Your Majesty. Okay. And you make it the rest of the way to the camp, and the bandits that are there are very happy to see the person you found in the woods because it's their leader.
Ah.
Yeah.
So he was part of the alliance, for lack of a better phrasing.
Yes, exactly. this particular bandit's name is Dram James. He's actually a bard by trade. Yes.
That explains why he's so glib about being stabbed in the chest.
Yes. I was busy.
Yeah.
Humor is a defense mechanism. Unfortunately, it does not boost his AC as much as he would like.
So if bard learns and casts shield, is using humor as a defense mechanism, right?
That might be true. He might not have shield as a spell.
Yeah.
Cutting words, perhaps.
That might not be one that he has.
Yeah.
Perhaps he's a bard of valor.
He has a bunch of spells at his disposal. None of them necessarily gave him resistance towards multiple wounds to the chest.
Yeah.
That have exit wounds on the other side.
Ew.
Yeah, you is correct. Everyone is very happy that you found him in the woods. People are coming back from other directions saying that they are not able to find the goblin either. Some of them are saying that they did encounter non-goblins in the woods.
More ogre zombies?
Not always ogres. But yes, there are more undead that are sort of just like patrolling in somewhat random directions. Different techniques are being used. The orcs that were going out and searching are pretty much, zombie, let's kill it. The monks that were going out and searching were like, zombies, let's see if there's a pattern to how they're moving through the woods and then kill it. And what they found was that there wasn't a pattern. They're sort of just ambling randomly, but there's enough of them that you might want to break camp because they'll amble their way into camp soon enough if you just stay here.
Right.
So, random hordes of undead are wandering the woods. All right, at least it's probably not sealing this.
Someone says they all seem to be led by a scarecrow. No. No, no one says that. No one's thinking it hard either.
All right. So at this point, we've got him back to camp. We know there's zombies floating out and around the woods. And the goblin seems to be evading capture, if nothing else. So we're going to see if we can try to track him down. Is that our plan?
That seems to be the plan for a lot of other people as well, except for the ones that have come back to warn about, hey, by the way, there's a lot of undead out there.
Right. And the goblin apparently has... Did the goblin stabbed our captain leader friend? Or was he...
That's what he said, that these injuries are because he encountered the goblin cook.
Okay.
Now, it's also... you also know at this point, from enough conversation that's happening that I'm not going to RP out, that when the other party first found the goblin in the woods, he was up against three ogre zombies and an orc that seemed to be giving them orders. And right when the party arrived, the orc was telling the ogre zombies to turn the goblin into a fine red paste.
Was the goblin holding his own at the time?
He was trying his best to distract them and say, "What? Look over there, a distraction of some kind.
It's the Goodyear blimp.
I was just out here picking wild carrots, that was all." And that was not taken as well as he would like.
So
he did not do a good persuasion or deception check.
He's more of a flighter than a fighter.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, if you're a goblin... Versus three ogre zombies.
Yeah. You're not going to stay there.
So either the cook outlived his usefulness, he wasn't actually the traitor and someone using an illusion was, or there are three factions.
Well, I'm also curious, our captain friend here of the bandits was defeated by said goblin. And it doesn't... That just doesn't fit his MO. This goblin cook seems more of a runner than a fighter. But again, if he managed to evade the three ogre zombies and an orc, maybe more of a one-on-one situation, and the goblin tried to take advantage of that. Again, we don't know. We weren't there. I actually have a decent insight.
Okay, yep, 23. Well, with the 23, in the situation that I described, the three ogre zombies and the orc were right there in front of the goblin. And he was not enjoying that experience whatsoever. But in a situation where maybe the goblin would be able to get the drop on somebody.
Right. He might
be able to get in a few good shots and then skedaddle out of there.
Right. Well, while the bard leader is busy with crossbow bolts to his chest, the goblin decides to take off, leaving... You know, not necessarily making the kill, but he's wounded enough that he's not going to bother me anytime soon.
According to the bard, he didn't stop to check.
So he shot, the bard fell, he didn't even look to see whether or not he hurt the bard, and then ran.
If he looked, it was from a distance. The bard wasn't really trying to keep track at that point.
Okay.
He was mostly thinking, juices are not staying in. I don't like this.
Yes. All my humors seem to be disappearing.
So probably not the illusion one.
No.
Probably.
But this poses more questions than answers.
We have two scenarios. Let's go figure out which one it is.
I agree.
Okay. So you're going to head back into the woods?
I believe so. At this point, we're going to try to find a goblin while hopefully avoiding zombies.
Yes.
And we'll be home before dark.
It's currently dark.
It's already dark. Before dawn.
Hopefully you will not be dead before dawn. That's a different thing.
Yes.
I'm making a joke.
An entirely different thing altogether.
Yes.
An entirely different thing. Sorry. Airplane was very funny.
Should we take a break before we head into the woods?
That sounds like a solid plan.
We totally can take a break. So we'll be right back. I'm going to press buttons. We're back, and Jen is here.
Hey.
Which means Yay. Onka has joined the party.
Yes.
An ally has joined you, but your enemies grow stronger. Ah, Diablo. Okay, so you are going to fight the Lord of Terror tonight.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yipe.
As long as we're on normal difficulty, we'll be okay.
Does Onka have inspiration?
Not yet, no.
I have a lot of fear spells. Are we sure that...
Are we sure that Bryn is not the Lord of Terror?
Perhaps he's just a maiden that's of a fear.
That's a very Diablo plot point.
It is.
I mean, valid.
Oh, very much so. Especially if she doesn't know she's the Lord of Terror.
Right. Whoops.
Anyway.
I am now worried that I now have more things to be paranoid about. Being the final boss and not knowing it.
Yep.
Well, this is the DM saying, I'm sure there's nothing to worry about.
Again, I will trot out my famous last words.
And Ulfgar has inspiration, because that's my rule. You make me laugh, you get inspiration. Whether or not I want you to have inspiration for what you've said, which is not really the case in this session, but the previous session, I forgot my rule and I laughed at something and I was upset with myself. But, I'm giving you
it's
this under duress.
It's all good.
Okay. So to speed things up a little bit, to say where you are right now, when you went back to the camp and dropped off one person who was at very low HP, Onka was there. She gave him a quick heal and then joined the group to go out goblin hunting. Because if people are putting holes in people that Onka has to patch up, then you might as well go and stop them putting holes in people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a solid plan.
Okay, so fast forward, you are in the middle of the woods. You have found multiple signs of zombies, but as you were close to the camp in the beginning, you were finding multiple signs of zombies that were no longer zombies. They were ex-zombies. They had been re-inhumed, so to speak.
That's kind of zombies.
Interesting.
Yes.
No, that was the other, our allies taking care of those zombies.
Yes.
They resumed or turned the zombies into their ex-zombie state.
Yes. There were plenty of orcs and bandits and monks near the camp that were going out and doing what orcs and monks and bandits are very good at, which is taking things that are moving and making them not move anymore. But they were also finding no sign of the goblin, who apparently is not hanging out close to camp. So you have gone out a bit further. And perception checks.
Oh, okay.
Checks or...
Checks, specifically. Okay. You are actively looking for goblin.
All right, I've rolled a 10 plus 3.
Okay.
Can we make survival to track the goblin?
17.
That will be a different roll.
Okay.
24 from Azir.
So I see 23 for Ulfgar, 24 for Mazir, 17 for Bryn.
No, I have not rolled yet. I have not rolled yet. Because Ulfgar's perception is not nearly as good as his survival.
Ah, so
I rolled a 4. Check. I'm looking at my shoes again.
Well, it's fair, because you were saying that was a survival check. So
I was asking if it could be.
Ulfgar is doing the tracking. And he's like, okay, so I'm seeing the footprints here.
Oh, no, if I'm doing the tracking, then that's a 9.
Oh, okay. I was looking up earlier, and you had a 23. You rolled an 18 plus 5 or something.
Oh, that was my insight check.
Oh.
Earlier when we were discussing. That's all right. And then if you want perception, I rolled perception. That's a plus 0, so I have a 4 on perception.
So, again, you have a dwarf who is very good at what he does. But what he does
is
not...
But this is not it.
Yeah, what he does is not silently go through the woods...
Nope.
Doing tracking.
Nope. If I roll. Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got the a trifecta going on here, because Mazir is like, guys, there's footprints behind us. They're following us.
If I roll survival, I have a plus 5. If I roll the perception, it's a 0. I rolled a 4 for the first roll. I rolled a 15 for the second roll.
Okay, so in this particular case, your perception roll is so low because you're focusing so much on your tracking that you're like, you're following the tracks but not paying attention to what's around you.
That seems fair.
Yeah, you have people for that.
Hey, look, they're right here. He's looking down on the ground and doesn't look up.
Well, in one particular case, you find a spot where the goblin clearly tripped over a root and fell into the mud face first. There is a very clear imprint of a goblinoid form, spread eagle, in the mud.
In the mud.
And then they got up and they tripped over another root. And then there was an issue with a couple rakes that were laying out. And he was such a bob. And I did the same joke in the last session, so I'm going through it quickly. But this is the spot you found.
Okay.
And Cindy's in chat saying, this is the track the first group found. Yes, you have found the previous track, which was done the exact same night. So it's fresh. Because the other group already found it. You also find the tracks of party members that have come through here as well.
Okay. So we want to keep going along. How did our perceptions do?
Well, there were some high perceptions. In particular, we have a 24 from Mazir.
And a 17.
Yeah, and a 17 from Bryn. So I'm going to say you are aware that you're not alone.
Oh.
Interesting.
Is Sava back with us?
No. When you went into camp, she hung back.
Right, and we never really said we were going to come back to meet her, only that we're going to go into camp, take this guy back, we're going to come back and try to follow the goblin trail. If she wasn't back where we left her, more or less, that's Ulfgar, as far as he's concerned, that's on her. She knew our plan. She could either wait or go about her own business.
Okay.
I cast False Life on myself.
I'm going to cast Mage Armor.
Using a second-level spell slot, and... it's concentration check, so...
Oh, no.
I love when it does that. No, Ulfgar is going to cast a Mage Armor and activate his Arcane Ward.
Okay, I now have 11 temporary hit points.
You go.
Time before we start rolling for something for me to cast another spell.
Okay, so I'm going to say that with the 17, Bryn is aware that you're not alone. You hear the sounds of things in the forest around you that are too large to be birds. You know one bird in particular that's quite large, but you don't hear anyone screaming murder over and over again, so you know it's not them. Mazir, with your roll over 20, you know that they're not on ground level.
Does that mean above or below?
Above.
There's something in the trees.
Oh.
Everybody be careful.
Uh-oh.
Is it elves? Because elves love to hide in trees.
I'm going to scale one of the nearby trees.
Okay. I'm not going to require a roll because you have boots of spider climbing or slippers of spider climbing, whatever. You have footwear that allows you to walk up walls as if you were a caped crusader in an old TV show.
That's right, old chum.
Holy orcish horde. Mazir person? Wait, no. Tiefling girl? Wait, no. Raven lady? No. I'll think of something. Tune in next week where Mazir turns her familiar into a robin.
Burt Ward.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne's ward. Burt Ward.
Oh, no.
That does amuse me, that little coincidence, but never mind about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go right up the tree, and you are face-to-face with an orc who is kind of surprised to be face-to-face with you. They are holding a javelin like they were about to throw it, but it's not pointed towards you, and where you are, it doesn't look like it's going to be able to get it to spin around to get you very well as, like, a surprise attack, where, oh, this tiefling ran right into my javelin. What are the odds?
What is...
I heard what's twice.
What... what is it pointed towards?
Oh, your friends down there on the forest floor.
Ah. Is it an orc I recognize?
No.
Bad idea, champ.
And this is where we roll for initiative.
Oh, my. Okay. I've rolled a 14, and my initiative is minus 1, so I have a 13.
21 for Mazir.
21 for Bryn.
So 21, 21, 14, 13. Call. Jen, is that right?
13, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Mazir and Bryn.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do?
Do I see any attackers yet?
Without dark vision, give me... Well, you already have a perception 17. You know they're up in the trees, but you can't see them. You've got a fairly good idea of which trees they are.
All right, then. I guess I'll do something where I don't need precision.
The DM is somewhat terrified. Wall of fire.
No, I don't even have that spell. How many trees can I see that are in a 30-foot radius that I know have things in them? Things that aren't Mizir.
You know they're in different directions, so there might be 3 or 4 total that have orcs in them, but you would need a higher perception roll to be able to say for certain at nighttime without dark vision.
That's fair.
You could try using ship sense of smell, but from the distance that they are, there's only so much that sense of smell is going to do.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to look in one of the directions that I'm pretty sure has an enemy in a tree, look up at it, and cast fear in a 30-foot cone.
Okay. The tree is terrified of you, but also it's a tree, so it can't do anything. The orc, however... I believe it's going to have to make a save.
It needs to make a wisdom saving throw, DC 15.
Trees don't have a very high wisdom, so the tree automatically fails. And this D20 of mine would be flashing to let me know I rolled a crit if it was upside down from how I rolled. That's a nat 1.
Oh, no. Hey.
Okay, so the orc must... As long as I maintain concentration and it doesn't succeed on a saving throw on its subsequent turns, because it can remake it, it has to take the dash action to get away from me by the safest available route on each of its turns.
Well,
unless there's nowhere to move. And I'm not sure this... I guess it's up to you whether this counts as nowhere to move.
There is down.
Yes, down is a direction. I will determine during its turn whether or not it feels like that is a safe path to take. But with a nat 1, it is very much concerned about its well-being while in the vicinity of this diminutive humanoid that does not appear to be armed in any way.
I have no weapons.
Terrified beyond all reason?
Rational thought.
I am happy about that. I'm thrilled with that reference. For some reason, for the briefest of moments, Bryn actually looks like a very ancient human wearing a purple outfit that is proof that dinosaurs once ruled the earth. So, Mizir, what are you up to?
I am spending my inspiration to give myself advantage on an attack roll.
And if you have advantage on an attack roll, that implies sneak attack damage might be a thing.
It does, and a 20, I'm hoping, will hit.
You cut out, but I see the roll was a 25. Yes, that hits. This orc is wearing chainmail armor, but a 25 can go right through that.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Oh, no.
A 1, a 2, a 1, and a 1 for damage. Ouch.
Wow.
Can I spend the inspiration on the damage roll?
You just spent your inspiration, so no.
And
we've all rolled that way every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the previous game, Fahim was rolling damage, and twice in a row, Fahim rolled 33 points of damage. And then she rolled damage one last time and got 34.
Impressive.
I have rolled 10 points of damage on an 8d6 fireball, so I feel your pain.
Oh, no.
Oh, that hurts.
Yes, it does. Fortunately, I was not playing an evoker, so...
Yeah.
Well, it's very easy for me to math how many hit points this orc has left, because 10 points is very easy to add into
the chest.
So, thank you for that. The DM thanks you for your service. The DM does not thank you with inspiration. Just a verbal pat on the proverbial back.
Will an 18 hit?
DM will check, and 18 hits.
6 damage. That's less easy, I'm afraid.
It's still something. All right. So the Wonder Twins have gone. Well, they had the same initiative, so you know. One of them did form of the most terrifying thing you have ever seen in your life. And the other one did shape of
terrible damage.
Shape of something even worse. Ulfgar, you are up. And you can see your opponents because you got dark vision.
I can see my opponents because I have dark vision. What do I see up in the trees?
There are four orcs surrounding you. One of whom is regretting all of their life choices that led up to this exact moment. One of whom is engaged with Mazir. They have not set a date yet, and I have to talk to Ansel about that.
How thick or big are these trees that the orcs are hiding in?
They're fairly large. These trees don't have any trouble holding the weight of these orcs on the branches that they're in.
So we're talking like oaks kind of tree.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Not specifically, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to be able to chop one of these down very quickly.
It would be very slow going. Now, the good news is, with a party of four, we can get through combat fast enough, unless I stop to pontificate, which I still stop to pontificate, that we might get through that many rounds, but they might be throwing javelins at you the entire time.
Okay. So we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
I can see the one Mazir shot. I assume it was bow and arrow, or was it a stabby?
Mazir went right up into its face.
Okay, so stabby.
Yeah, Mazir's hanging out on the trunk of the tree with her boots of awesomeness.
Gotcha. So we're going to try. So instead of saving this for the end, we're going to try magic missile. I'm sorry, not magic missile, Mel's acid arrow. We're going to open with it, so it might actually reach round two.
I mean, that's valid. I like how historically something that like this and Guiding Bolt are supposed to be spells used early on, and they have historically been finishing moves in our games.
So I will attack the same orc that Mazir stabbed, and I have rolled a 16 to hit that orc.
Well, if you're doing... you're doing the arrow, yeah. A 16 will not hit.
That requires a... Okay. I will not use inspiration yet to reroll that. I will save that.
Okay. Next up is Onka.
Okay. So I can't see any of the orcs in the trees.
Well, you've got dark vision.
I do?
Orcs have dark vision, don't they?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't see it on here, but...
It's under your... If you look on your sheet, Jen, on the left side where you have your passive perception, investigation, and insight, it's right above the word sense.
Oh, I do. I do have dark vision. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to use, let's see.
In my head, canon, Onka just realized that she has dark vision. This whole time she thought, well, it never gets really dark at night.
Yeah, well, she's a half-orc. She's still kind of figuring things out, I guess.
And her mom left kind of young. Well, when she was kind of young.
She was about 10 or something. So, okay, so I'm going to do, how high up are these orcs? Like, what
range
do I need to hit?
About 20 feet up.
Okay, so I'm going to do...
I was going to say, within a round's walking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do Sacred Flame on one of the orcs that is not next to Mazir and that is in a tree. And with that, it's a 60-foot range, and flame-like radiance descends on the creature that you can see within the range. So they have to succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 radiant damage.
At our level, it would be 2d8 damage.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, sorry. The text doesn't change, but the thing at the top does. Okay, so it'd be 2d8 radiant damage. So I'm just going to pick one and fire that off.
Okay. That means I've got a roll of 14 or higher. Well, its dex modifier is not 10, so that 4 I rolled is not going to do it.
Okay. So it's 2d8.
Go ahead and roll your damage.
All right, I have a 3 and a 1.
Okay, I'll mark that off.
Yeah, it's not a lot, but it's something.
Indeed it is.
Mm-hmm.
We need Cindy back in here to roll dice for us.
True. Suddenly you hear, and a wild Fahim appears. He screams, I heard there were things to punch. Something need punching? All right, it's the orc's turns. The one that is... right in front of Mazir go figure, is going to go after Mazir. And that is going to be... So it had a javelin. It just drops the javelin and pulls out a long sword to swipe at you.
AC 15.
That is a dirty 20.
It'll hit.
And you take 12 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
How far is Mazir away from me?
20 feet as the raven flies.
Okay. Like, I'm sorry. How much slashing damage?
It is going to be 12 points of slashing damage. It would be more.
Okay.
But this orc is holding onto the tree trunk with one hand and slashing with the other. And if it tried to do a two-handed attack, it might become a projectile aimed at a different party member.
I heard elf, and I was making sure it was 12 and not 11.
You take elf points of damage.
Turn elf.
Well, you are in the forest.
It makes a dex-saving throw. At 16.
That's very bold of you to assume it makes the dex-saving throw.
Yeah.
I was counting on her reacting to burn that sucker to the ground.
Because that's a natural 2.
I
got all my good rolls done in the previous session.
There you go.
Yeah, so Hellish Rebuke gives it 11 points of damage.
Not a fan. It is not a fan.
And it's on fire.
It dropped the
javelin. Correct? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It had to drop it to pull the long sword.
Okay.
Mazir wasn't going to hang around and wait for it to slowly put it back in the sheath that has trapped
in
its
the quiver.
Back. Like, hey, hold on a second. Time out. Got to put this back.
Let me put this away
eyelash.
Safely.
Although, time out, eyelash. It's in my eye.
That would be a very funny image, though. Just Mazir and the orc staring at each other. The orc slowly javelin away and pulls out its long sword.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be right, several rounds of combat.
Yeah.
You ready? We're good? You ready?
Yeah.
But now. Okay.
That was orc number one.
That was orc number one. Orc number two is very much upset about all of this. And now, when it makes its save, that's at the end of its turn?
Correct.
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it did, in fact, try to use the dash action.
Oh.
But he's not as stable along the tree branches as we might hope?
Wahoo!
Well, he ran right up the tree, so it tried running right down the tree.
And gravity helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was able to run at a speed of 32 feet per second per second.
Per second squared.
Yes. Now, on one hand, a round is 6 seconds long, but on the other, it was only 20 feet up. So it's going to spend a little more than 5 seconds regretting its life choices still.
And falling down.
Falling was less than a second because it was only 20 feet up, but I rolled a 19 for its save, so it's no longer afraid. It's still regretting a lot of life choices, but it is not afraid anymore. That's orc.
It's on the ground. And it's on the ground
damage,
now,
doesn't it?
I've marked that off. Yes, I rolled for that.
Okay.
So, but now it's on the ground.
Now it's on the ground. And prone.
Now it's easier. Oh, goody. Prone is good. I like prone.
Yeah, it ran down the tree and sort of kept going. There's a slight indentation that is shaped like it on the ground. Orc number three throws a javelin at Onka. That is going to be a 17.
I've got armor class 10, so it hits.
Okay, you're taking 6 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
Orc number four gets a nat 20 against Ulfgar.
Oof.
And that is going to be... I should probably roll that. I like to use average damage, but for crits, it doesn't give average damage.
Right.
10 points of piercing damage from a javelin.
All right, that is... My arcane ward is up, so that is 10 points off of that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the end of the round. We're back up to Mazir and Bryn.
You can go first.
Okay. Raum swoops down into the orc.
You cut out.
Raum into the orc's face to distract it.
Okay, the evil robot sends Raum into the orc's face to distract it, allowing Mazir to get get advantage on an attack.
Advantage.
Yes, which is going to allow for a sneak attack, I'm sure.
17.
A 17 just misses.
Oh, really? All right.
Between various bonuses and the chainmail, 17 is not going to do it.
Got it. And then a 13 misses as well. Okay.
Okay. Bryn, you're up.
All right. the one that fell out of... Okay, there's one that fell out of a tree and is prone. There's two others in trees that...
There are currently three in trees, one of whom is engaged with Mazir, and right. There's one that got set on fire by Onka. Oh, the one that's engaged with Mazir is also on fire. I will say that with the fire attacks, you can see much better now. And there's one that fell out of a tree after being very, very afraid of you.
Okay. So I am going to... I have a spell gem. Magic gems seem to be a thing with me. I have two on my person. But I am going to point the lapis lazuli spell gem at the one that Unka set on fire. Use the stored spell, which...
You put out entirely there.
Sorry.
You're using a stored spell.
Color spray.
Okay. You're going to make it pretty.
So let me roll 6d10 because that's how many hit points of creature, and that's a 28, which means I suspect no creatures were blinded.
No.
Oh, well.
Okay. Is that your turn?
Casting it is an action, I believe, so...
I'm so used to you playing a sorcerer who's like, okay, quicken spell. Oh, and I'm also going to use a bonus action to cast another spell. Oh, cast all the spells. Ulfgar, you're
up. I have only one bonus action spell. It's Dragon's Breath.
All right.
I mean, there is one on the ground.
Ulfgar is going to go to the one on the ground.
Okay.
He is wearing chainmail, and he's prone, so this is nice. I'm going to use Shocking Grasp on him. I get advantage for metal armor, and I get advantage for him being prone. So
I will not give you double advantage.
No, I'm taking a dead game sport approach. Now, let's see if I do this right. Yeah, I did it right. All right, so I have a total of 24 to attack the one on the ground.
That's a hit. In my head cannon, Ulfgar scuffs his feet across the forest floor the entire way over.
Yeah.
Got to build up a charge somehow.
Yep.
That's
11 points of electrical
component.
Damage. Yeah. 11 points of electrical damage to the orc face down in the mud.
All right. Noted.
And that is a move and a spell, so I am done for now.
Okay. Onka.
Okay. Is there an orc that... Jet.
I think
you
so.
Cut out. Right in the middle of that.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry. Is there an orc left that has not yet been injured?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt at that one.
Okay. Well,
right.
Historically, that's a finishing move, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Fine. We'll allow it to be used as intended and provide advantage to the next person to throw something at it.
Right.
If we have to do things the correct way, I guess...
Yeah. Okay.
This
so
is why we have nice things.
All right. So we're going to aim it at the one that's not injured yet. And on a hit, it takes 5d6 damage, radiant damage. And as you said, the next person gets advantage. So I guess I just, do I roll something for this?
Yeah,
or
you
got to
roll a
d20
and add your bonus.
That hits something. Hang on. Okay. Perfect. I have a 10. And.
Six, I think. What are you doing? Guiding Bolt?
Guiding Bolt.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you would add six.
Okay.
So you got a 10.
Plus six?
That's
yes.
A 16. That is not high enough, unfortunately.
Ah, okay. Well, I tried. Okay, so...
It dodges the glitter.
Oh,
apparently,
no.
Yeah, Acid Arrow and Guiding Bolt only hit if used as finishing moves.
I guess. They know that they're not being used right, and they're like, nope.
Well... Keep in mind,
okay,
Ari and Meepo are probably among the defenders of Coomridge because they hang out there a lot. And these orcs are part of the horde that has tried to invade Coomridge. So the ones that were not brutally destroyed had some skill in avoiding acid arrow and glitter bombs.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's evolution.
Yes. Yeah.
They, so
eventually they'll build up an immunity.
An immunity. Oh, God. So as a bonus action, I want to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Okay.
And let's see. What can I do with that? 60-foot range.
So every orc that's in play, you could pick any one of them that has Spiritual Weapon be near them and start smacking them over the head.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to do that with the one who evaded the glitter attack.
How dare you dodge that?
Yeah. Boom.
Okay, give me an attack roll.
Okay. That's a 10 again, apparently.
Okay, I think that's still plus
the same bonus.
Same bonus, yeah.
So it dodges again.
Okay. Well, I can keep the spiritual weapon there, so.
Yep.
I'll try again next
turn. Try again next turn.
Yes.
All right. It is now their turn. So the one that's trying to deal with Mazir, in one regard, it is dealing with Mazir, but it's not enjoying the experience. Is going to take a swing. Oh, I've been doing this wrong. It can make two attacks, and I've been only having it do one. So that first attack is going to be a 16.
Okay.
Is that a hit?
I am going to cast Shield.
Okay. And the second attack is going to be a 22.
That's a hit, even with the shield.
Okay. 12 points of slashing damage.
Okay, I'm bloodied.
Okay. The one that is on the ground prone uses half its movement to stand up and takes two swipes with its long sword at this surprisingly strong wizard. That is a 9 and a 16.
I will shield.
Does that mean the 16 does not hit?
16 will not hit on when I shield.
Okay.
And my ward gets healed.
22. There are two left that need to do something, and one of them is going to throw a javelin. Who's it going to throw a javelin at? It's going to throw the javelin at Ulfgar. That is a 22.
That will hit with the shield.
That's going to be 6 points of piercing damage.
All right. Ward is down to 6.
And that's another nat 20.
Okay.
That one is throwing a javelin at Unka.
Okay.
And I should roll the 2d6 for that. That is going to be 9 points of piercing damage.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. We're back up to Mazir and Bryn.
How far I am from the one engaged?
The one that you're fighting, you are 5 feet from.
The one engaged with Ulfgar.
Oh, the one engaged with Ulfgar? 25, 30 feet, something like that. Okay. So Mazir and Bryn, you're up.
You can go first.
How far am I on the ground?
You are 20 feet up the tree.
Sorry?
You're 20 feet up the tree.
Right, exactly. How far on the ground from the base of the tree to the one engaged?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say 30 to 35 feet.
Oh, okay. That's a ways.
Yeah, well, they were surrounding you with the idea they were just going to be up there throwing javelins at you while you couldn't do anything. Only some of you foolishly came in with ranged attacks and one of you just climbed right up the tree. You're not supposed to do that. There are rules. You're breaking the rules. You're cheating. That's what you cheat. They're going to tell mom.
I'm going to hazard a guess that these are not particularly wise. So, and I want to see what happens. Tasha's hideous laughter.
Okay. What's my target number?
14. Wisdom save.
Would you accept a 7?
Probably not.
Well, this orc thinks something is very funny.
And it's got to fall prone while standing on a branch.
That's 2 out of...
Somehow, he still seems to think this is hilarious.
Of course he does.
Okay, I'm going to roll. That is... Okay, that's 6 points of falling damage.
I thud.
He's still laughing on the ground.
Of course he is.
I mean, you think it's a laugh. He's kind of weaving because he's wheezing because he got the wind knocked out of him when he hit, but he's still going through the motions of trying to laugh and catch his breath at the same time. There are tears running down the side of his face.
Question.
And I use my bonus action to take the hide action.
Okay.
So basically, I'm finding the place around the tree trunk where the other orcs can't see me.
Okay. Which would be much more difficult if you weren't wearing the footwear of awesomeness that you're wearing.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll just stroll around the circumference of the tree trunk.
It's for the briefest of moments, you are the Goblin King.
I have the little globes and everything. Cool.
They remind you of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
What power?
The power of voodoo.
Hoodoo?
You do.
You do.
Do what?
Remind me of the babe.
Dance, question.
Magic dance.
Are there three orcs or four orcs?
There were four. Two are now
there
up
are
the tree.
Four.
Two are down on,
two,
on the
two
ground.
Two are on the ground. One is prone. The other one got up after falling down to the ground. Two are still in the trees making use of their javelins.
Okay. Are they all within 60 feet of me?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm going to, since I'm no longer concentrating on fear.
You're going to have a different way for them to be afraid.
Yes, I cause fear, which... Oh, are they all within 30 feet of each other?
All of them are within 30 feet of at least one compatriot, but the ones that are on far edge from each other are just a bit beyond that.
Okay, so if I pick one of the ones in the middle, are two others within 30 feet of it?
You can be in the middle, but if you pick any one of them, they will have two of their allies within 30 feet of them, but
okay,
the third one
so
will
I can
not
get
be.
Three. All right, I will burn a third level spell slot, cast Cause Fear with it, and all three of them need to make wisdom saving throws. The drawback of this one is they don't run, they just have the frightened condition.
Okay, so I am going to roll. Is there any particular one that you target?
They just have to be within...
I recommend avoiding...
...feet of each other.
I recommend avoiding the one that's already under...
Already under what?
There's one that's prone and laughing.
Yeah, I would... Yeah, no, don't target that one.
So that's the one I'm not targeting, yeah.
Because otherwise he'd be like, I'm gonna die. Yeah, that wouldn't work very well. Okay, so what's my target number?
15.
That is two saves and a... Hold on, what's the stat?
Wisdom.
Okay, yeah, that's two saves and a very low failure.
All right, one of them has the frightened condition as long as I am within sight.
Okay.
It is frightened of me.
The one that has been fighting Ulfgar is like, not again. Well, he says it in Orcish. So if you don't speak Orcish, you don't know he said that.
Unka confirms that one's terrified of you.
Niprokak!
Kapla! Wait.
Close enough for government work.
Ulfgar. The one that's been stabbing you with a sword smells faintly of urine.
What does the frightened condition actually do for me? Anything?
When it's turn to attack, it's going to be rolling a disadvantage.
Oh, okay.
I think,
if I damage him, will that...
Is it for saving
throws too? It just has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls and can't come closer to me.
Okay, but not saving throws, so...
No, saving throws, it does the normal way.
Yeah, so the main benefit for Ulfgar is he's less likely to be stabbed a lot.
Stabbed a lot, okay. If I damage him, drop that frightened condition?
I don't believe so.
It shouldn't.
He saves at the end of his turn, though, right? Like all the other conditions?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then he's still wearing chainmail, so we're going to take advantage of our shocking grasp, and we're going to see if we can't light up his life again.
Well, you don't have an x-ray, and you want to check and see if he has any broken bones from the fall.
Sure, that sounds good. All right, so we'll take the crit, and that is going to be 4d8 lightning damage. 13. Only 2 points better than the earlier attack.
Still not a fan.
Yep.
Also, it looks like he did crack a couple ribs, so he might want to get that checked.
Yeah, well, if he lives long enough. The other side effect is he cannot take reactions. Not that I think he's doing any, but he may not take reactions.
Well, he's reacting to this, but yeah. Not in a game mechanic kind of way. Yep. His reaction is mostly, it's what we in the electrical business refer to as the 60 cycle shuffle. And all my electrician friends will get that reference.
I am not one, so I do not get that reference.
Electricity
but it
in the
good.
U.S. For power. In houses runs on a cycle of 60. So, yeah.
Good to know.
Yes. So that's your turn. Onka, you're up.
Okay, who's injured?
Mazir.
Mazir is injured? Okay.
Yep.
Mazir, though you can't see her, she's bloody. Hiding.
She's hiding.
Yes, and Ulfgar a little bit.
Actually, no, my arcane ward has been absorbing his blows.
Well, okay, you're all right.
You did take some piercing damage, though, didn't you?
Oh, wait, no, ward was up.
Your arcane ward is... That's not an AC thing. That's a temporary hit point thing.
Yeah, basically a temporary hit point. Yeah. It starts with 20. I'm down to 6, so it doesn't...
Okay.
Mazir doesn't actively have anyone targeting her because, well, one, she's hiding, and two, the one who is stabbing her a lot is currently at the base of the tree having a good
laughing
chuckle.
His... Yes.
Okay. So she's okay for now. I can't see her. I probably, if I can't find her, I can't do a touch spell to heal, so that's not going to happen.
I'm still up at the tree.
Yeah, it's like, I can't do it then. Okay.
I don't know how much damage Bryn has. I don't know how much damage you have.
I am
the opposite of injured.
Okay.
I have 11 temporary hit points. Yeah. I have more hit points than I have.
Ulfgar still has 6 temporary hit points, so he's essentially unwounded as well. So, physician, heal thyself, or
it's going to be that because I can't get to Mazir. So I'm going to use Cure Wounds level 1 on myself, and that's going to do. What's it going to do?
Remember, you affix the oxygen mask to yourself before you
before,
put one on
right,
the companion.
Yeah.
Small children.
Let's see. 1d8 plus 3. Yeah, 1d8 plus 3. I've rolled a 4 plus 3. That gives me 7 hit points back. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have, your bonus action spiritual weapon out there, so you can attack whatever target that was out there.
For one, it's next to, I'm going to have the spiritual weapon hit it.
You need better than a 10.
Yes.
Okay. I'm hoping
you need a
12
or higher.
I think this was one that was in the tree. Yeah.
It has an AC of 18, so you need a 12 or higher.
I've got a 10.
Okay. So
didn't work.
Swing and a miss.
Yep.
Yeah.
Over 3.
It's a Dexy orc in the tree, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. It is now the orc's turns. One of them chooses to laugh. One of them chooses to keep swinging at Ulfgar. At
disadvantage. Yay.
And I see a 2 there, so that's definitely going to be a miss because of the other number. That is a 16 and a 9 plus 5, so a 14 is the second hit. Is that a
14
miss?
Will also miss. Yep. That's without shield, so I do not need to shield this round. Yay.
Okay. He's sort of swinging, going, keep away, keep away.
Nope. Whole bunch of nope over here.
Yeah, he considers his attacks to be a success because you're actually, like, not moving closer to him. And by you, I'm specifically referring to Bryn.
Bryn, yeah.
Yeah, that's who he's afraid of right now. Okay, so we have the one that... Sorry?
It should be 2 in the trees that have not yet attacked.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do. One has been... definitely dodging Unka's strikes.
Yes.
And the other one was set on fire by Unka briefly and then has been ignored since then. That is 2 misses because those numbers are low enough that I don't need to ask anyone what their AC is. Moving on. We've got 2 that are making saving throws. The one that is laughing, it's a wisdom saving throw, right?
Yeah.
That's a 12.
Doesn't succeed.
Okay. And the one that is very, very afraid, I believe that's also wisdom saving throw.
Yep.
That's a 5. I don't think I need to ask how well it's doing.
Yeah, that one's having some bad luck today. And also fear, a lot of fear.
Occasionally, one might hear a small voice yelling, "You're doing great, but not tonight and not these." So, Mazir and Bryn, you're up again.
Bryn's turn to go first.
All right. Wow, I prepared a lot of concentration spells this morning. Okay, I'm actually going to give that one a second chance because I'm going to drop concentration on Cause Fear in order to cast once again Cause Fear and try to get all 3 of them.
So for a moment, it's like he shakes his head and he starts to growl and get ready to strike again, and I'm ready to fail another saving throw.
I think we found their weakness.
Wisdom saves.
They have a bonus to wisdom. It's just not very high, and I'm rolling very low. Let's see, that's a crit fail. And that is a 14.
14 does not do it.
And that's an 11, so that doesn't do it. You have three orcs that are very much afraid of what's going on, and one who thinks this is hilarious.
This is brilliant. I love it.
Okay. I am here for this content. Mazir, what are you up to? Besides 20 feet. You're up to 20 feet.
Yeah. You're hiding.
The one that's engaged with Ulf is going to get an attack from a crossbow.
Twang.
21.
21 will hit.
17.
A 17 will not.
No, that's the damage.
No. That's the damage.
Well, he would like the 17 to also not. If you could manage to have the 17 not, he would appreciate that.
And then I'm going to spend my bonus action to go back to hiding.
Okay. The person who was standing in for you and making the globe spin while you were the Goblin King goes, wow, nice shot. Ulfgar.
Okay. These lightning strikes seem to be doing well, so we're going to keep up with that. Because advantage is very nice. 22 to hit.
Yes.
And ghetto crit for 16 electrical damage.
All right.
How do you want to do this?
Oh, I haven't been asked this in such a long time.
Let it soak in. Enjoy the feeling.
Yes, because as a wizard, I often do not deliver the killing blow.
even with the acid arrow, it was like, well, it just won't survive another round, but you didn't get the killing blow.
Yeah. I think we'll just turn his nervous system into a fireworks show, and he can simply collapse in a heap.
He is very badly burned, but also not still alive.
That is an excellent position. Ulfgar will turn and go next. And, the one that's laughing on the ground, and we have two in the air. Ulfgar will move close to the next closest one that is still up in a tree.
Okay.
I forgot during my turn. Raum is going to assist whichever orc Unka attacks with the spiritual weapon.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay.
That's good. That'll give her advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, coincidentally,
okay. I'm done.
Unka.
It is Unka's turn.
Okay. All right. Same orc I've been trying to knock out of the tree. I'm going to try Word of Radiance on that orc. And that's...
I think you have to be adjacent.
Oh, no. I got to be closer. I can't do it on him. That's not going to work. Okay.
You can Sacred Flame him again.
I can Sacred Flame him. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I don't remember which one I did that on originally, but I'm going to do Sacred Flame.
I have it marked off
60
when you
feet range.
They're still in a tree.
Okay.
He knows which one you hit.
Yeah. You've been trying to swing at the one that's taken no damage with a spiritual weapon.
Okay.
But the other one in the tree, you set on fire once, and then everyone kind of just stopped trying to hurt them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm gonna go after... Yeah?
I was just going to say, I've been busy telling this guy on the ground jokes.
Yeah, but he...
She said, knock, knock. Orange. Orange. I get it. Orange. It's a pun.
Oh, my. Okay.
Didn't lose anything in the translation.
So we really should be going for the intelligence roll.
Yeah. Too bad there's so few spells that work on that.
Right.
The puns are the highest form of humor.
Okay, so I'm gonna do Sacred Flame on this one and then try to hit him with the
okay.
In the hopes of knocking him out of the tree. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's see. I think
a spiritual weapon should just be a save.
Okay, but Sacred Flame isn't.
Sacred Flame is just... Spiritual weapon is attack roll. Sacred Flame is the saving throw.
Okay, it's a Dex 14 saving throw? Attack? Do I roll something here? I'm confused.
You will roll for the sacred, or you will roll for the spiritual weapon.
Not the
Sacred Flame. You just roll damage if he fails.
The Sacred Flame spell, I failed. So you will have to roll damage for that.
That's
2d8. 2d8. Yep. I've got a 3 and a 4.
Well, I can no longer say they are all uninjured.
Okay, good. And then I'm going to use the spiritual weapon to try to hit him.
Now, you will roll 2d20s for this because Mazir gave you advantage from the earlier turn.
Yes, yes. Okay,
and 2d20s. The number to hit is 12 on the die.
Because oh, God. I've rolled an 8 and a 2. Can I use my inspiration to try that again?
You most certainly may use your inspiration to roll a third time.
All right. And that's one. No. And the other.
You don't get double.
You only get it once.
Oh. So, okay.
Yeah.
So well, the first one rolled a 5, so I've missed again.
This spiritual weapon is just creating a light breeze, which is making the orc's hair.
Well, I did set it on fire.
Go,
maybe it'll fan the flame.
Yeah. The orc's hair is sort of like the parts that aren't burned off are sort of like flowing. Mm-hmm. This is the Fabio of orcs.
Oh. Well, I'm trying.
And suddenly a seagull flies into his face.
Stop it now.
I was about to say.
I know that reference.
I was trying to remember. But
That did happen. Fabio was on a roller coaster and he hit a seagull while on the roller coaster. So that's what I was referencing. But I appreciate the additional reference.
Yes. Okay, that's the end of my turn because I can't do anything else.
Okay.
When it landed, when he got off the roller coaster, he had the weirdest haircut.
No, he didn't hit a whole flock.
I get that now.
Yeah. So it is the orc's turn. The one that's laughing, his laughter cuts off very quickly.
Uh-oh. Wait. That's not funny at all.
Well, no. Crossbow bolt to the neck is usually not very funny.
Uh-oh. Somebody's helping. It's not
possibly Thava.
Maybe.
Okay. Crash, you with us?
I'm here.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I am looking at things.
Okay. Just making sure.
Ulfgar electrified one. The one in the mud, laughing in the mud, is now not. And we have two up in a tree.
I have to make sure I get this correct. Because, you know, I can't house rule or finagle anything. I can't just bend the rules to my will. I'm a DM. Wait. The one that has not had a spiritual weapon fanning him tenses up and falls out of the tree. And a pseudo-dragon lands on the tree branch where the orc was and just chirps at you happily.
Oh, good.
And the last orc standing just kind of slowly raises the one hand that isn't required to stay in the tree and tries to motion that he's not trying to be a threat anymore.
He's got his underwear attached to a stick.
You surrender, yes, but looks like a gesture of surrender.
He nods very quickly.
All right, then, come on down. I think we've all got some questions we'd like to ask you.
And that's where we're going to end it tonight.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Jen.
Yep, no problem.
And Archbeth joins us right as we're ending it. She was here earlier, but now, oh well. So thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yes, Jen, yes, Archbeth, there is always a recording. So tonight we were joined by a bunch of awesome people, including, but not limited to, Io, Jen, Ellie, Matt, not Ulfgar, but Matt. Ulfgar, too, technically. We have Cindy hanging out in chat. We have Archbeth hanging out in chat. Let's do some plugs. Ellie runs the social network, elec.xyz. It's Mastodon compatible. Come join us. Io's mom writes books, elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast, bookofjen.net. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious donators, including Alice, Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric. And until next time, this is Crash saying, you light up his life.
By the way, I want to make sure everybody knows that my plug is both polarized and grounded.
And is, in fact, running on 60 cycles.
Yes.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.